Salvation from our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Good Shepherd. A couple of announcements this morning. Just a reminder that following our service today, we will be having a voters meeting over in the parish hall. So if you are able to attend, please plan to do so. Also, just to mention, I will be out of the office this week. I will do the Seneca service tomorrow morning. And then we're going to leave, but I'll be back for next Sunday. So don't think because it says I'm out of the office, you can't be here on Sunday. So, because I will be here. So, just a quick thing in the bulletin. Some of you have already noticed things got a little out of order. And so we will be doing our regular order of Old Testament, Epistle, and Gospel lesson, despite the fact that it's in a little different arrangement in the bulletin this morning. So, as we gather this the third Sunday of Easter, before we sing our opening hymn, let us greet each other in peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I,
a poor miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy innocent, that are sufferings and death, of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ. To be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto you all. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Alleluia. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. Alleluia.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, through the humiliation of your Son, you raised up the fallen world. Grant to your faithful people, rescued from the peril of everlasting death, perpetual gladness and eternal joys, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading for the third Sunday of Easter is written in the prophet Ezekiel chapter 34. For thus says the Lord God, Behold, I myself will search for my sheep, and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the ravines, and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the high mountain, on the mountain heights of Israel, shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost. I will bring back the strayed. I will bind up the injured. I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is written in 1 Peter chapter 2. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. This is the word of the Lord. The Gospel according to St. John, the 10th chapter. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. This is the gospel of the Lord. I believe in one God,
by whom all things were made, who for us is here, and for our salvation, came down from heaven, In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. But we might ask, why is he good? Before we answer that, we first must understand the word good. It is perhaps an insufficient word to describe the shepherd. The Greek word is kalos, and it can mean beautiful, excellent, honorable, competent, and noble, just to name a few. So for Jesus to be the good shepherd, it is more than him just being a nice guy or a helpful guide. Jesus is the good shepherd because he lays down his life for the sheep. A good shepherd stands in the fray to protect the sheep. When the wolf has breached the perimeter of security, the good shepherd charges forward to defend the flock from the intrusion. A good shepherd will tangle with the wolf. He will put himself in harm's way. He will fight to the last for his sheep. Again, this is more than just being a good guy or a nice guy. Jesus, in calling himself the good shepherd, makes this more than just defending the sheep. A good shepherd also knows the sheep. And it's not just in a general sense, but in a personal and an individual sense. And so what Jesus is doing in this passage from the Gospel of John is making a declaration to those who would follow him by saying, I am the good shepherd, and this good shepherd will look out for you. He will protect you. He will lay down his life for you. And he will do this because he knows you. Now, as sheep, it is ever beneficial for you to actually know who the shepherd is. It is to your advantage to know the voice of your shepherd so that when he calls you, you hear him. This, of course, is where this whole beautiful image falls apart. Because as the sheep, we can all say that we do not always know or hear or listen to the voice of the good shepherd. Instead, we are more apt to listen to the other voices that are beckoning us to go our own way and do our own thing. We are much more in tune with the voice of our flesh and our world that calls us to indulge in our lusts and our sinful, selfish desires. This can be tough to admit because, like sheep, we have gone astray. We have all wandered off into all kinds of sin in our lives. There is plenty of blame to go around in your family, in my family, in our church, in our community, in our society. There is no one good, not even one, except our Lord Jesus Christ. Indeed, sin has shaped us all. Sin has scattered us all. Sin has shattered us all. Sin keeps us from hearing the voice of our shepherd. Sin keeps us from coming to God's house to hear his forgiveness in our ears and taste his forgiveness upon our tongues. Sin, not the lack of sleep, not the work schedule, not the limited me time. It is sin that keeps us from the good shepherd. To know the voice of the shepherd is to be in the presence of the shepherd. And being in the presence of the shepherd, the good one, is to know Christ. All true knowledge of Christ is known only in Christ's word, in how he gives himself to us, in his supper, and in the holy waters of baptism. You cannot truly know Christ, your good shepherd, apart from these means of grace which he has bestowed here in this place, and that he continues to give to you here week after week after week. Unfortunately, we can always seem to justify our reasons for not listening and instead despising the voice of the Good Shepherd. We can always justify our wayward wandering and absences. We can always justify our selective hearing. But every time we attempt to justify our sin, we are not listening to what God has already said about it. Instead, we listen to what our friends have to say. We listen to what his popular culture has to say. We listen to our own hearts as if they have anything better to say than what God has already said. Out of the hearts come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, and slander. This is hardly a very good and God-pleasing guide for us. It is easy to underestimate the detrimental effect of straying from the voice of the shepherd. But here's what you need to know. The voice of the evil one, he is highly skilled at deceiving you. He is really good at luring you away from the good shepherd. If you do not believe me, ask yourself this. Have you ever wondered if you are going to heaven? Have you ever wondered if God is angry with you and punishing you? How many times have you wondered if God will forgive you for that one big sin that you committed that lies deep in your heart? I cannot begin to tell you how many times I've heard Christians lament, "I hope I can go to heaven. I hope God will be gracious to me." As if that hope is not really hope, but wishful thinking. But this is nothing more than the work of the evil one who has been successful in planting in you unfaithful, uncertain doubt. And so we behold the voice of our shepherd. We behold the voice of the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We behold the Lamb of God who laid down his life as an all-redeeming sacrifice for the sins of the entire world. Your sins, my sins, even the sins of the people that you do not like. The Lamb has laid down his life for them. It is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world that says to you, "Take, eat, and take, drink. This is my body. This is my blood." Why? For what purpose? For the forgiveness of all of your sins. All of them. It is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world that says to us through the voice of your pastor, "In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ and by his authority, I announce the grace of God unto you. In that way, your sins are forgiven and remembered no more in the name and for the sake of Jesus Christ, who is your good shepherd." And so for you to say, "Well, I don't feel forgiven," is actually to deny the objective truth of the Word of God and the objective absolution that is certainly yours in that pronouncement, "You are forgiven."
And indeed, you are forgiven. You are redeemed. God has placed his name upon you. And so God is at peace with you. It is finished, Jesus said on the cross. And so may your good shepherd grant you the humility of the faithful little lamb that always hears and listens and cleaves to the voice of the good shepherd. That always hears and listens and cleaves to the living voice of the gospel. Christ himself has called you in the life-giving waters of holy baptism. You have been marked, you have been branded as one of his own. You have been imprinted with Christ, both upon your head and upon your heart, marking you as one who is redeemed by the Good Shepherd. And so you have a Christ. You have a Savior who is your Good Shepherd. And he has laid his life down for you. And not only that, he has taken it up again for you, that you might join him in the resurrection of all flesh. So yes, Jesus is truly the Good Shepherd. And he is the Good Shepherd who leads you to the rich pastures of forgiveness, life, and salvation. So thanks be to God. He has given us this Good Shepherd. Because in him, we have everything in this Good Shepherd. Thanks be to God. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Life and salvation, but that all may be gathered into one flock under the Good Shepherd. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We continue with the prayers of the church. This morning in our prayers, we offer a prayer of thanksgiving for the birth of a baby girl to Alyssa and Andrew. And also we pray for Paul Alber, a brother of Sarah Wiedemeyer, who is near death. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, through your divine mercy and goodness, you gave to us your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to be the propitiation for our sins, thereby delivering us from the power of death, devil, and eternal damnation. On the third day, Jesus did rise from the dead and did bring forth righteousness, innocence, and eternal life. We pray that you grant us grace, that by the working of your Holy Spirit in us, we may take deep felt joy and comfort in Christ's holy death and resurrection, and that by it we ourselves overcome all fear of death and look forward to the resurrection. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, continue to give your church faithful pastors to speak your word and administer your sacraments. Grant that we may be kept in this faith. Teach it to our children and do the good works that you have that show forth our identity as your own people. Count us righteousness in Christ, having been joined with his death and resurrection and holy baptism. Make us bold in heart this Easter tide, that we may speak freely of the joy of the resurrection that leads to eternal life. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, give wisdom to our president, our governor, and all those elected or appointed to serve our government in this nation, state, and community. Prosper the labor of those who work to bring peace and justice to all places of this world. Protect and defend those who protect and defend us, especially our police and emergency workers, and those who serve us in the armed forces. We remember especially Todd, Angela, Jacob, Madison, and Kyle. We pray that they and all who serve may serve with honor and integrity, and that we may lead quiet and peaceable lives in all godliness and honesty. Lord, in your mercy, Heavenly Father, it is your joy to give life, and we give you thanks for the gift of human life. We pray that you look favorably upon expectant mothers, especially to Katie. Grant that throughout her time of pregnancy, that mother and child may be kept safe from harm and danger, and that you may be glorified in the giving of life. And this day we praise you for the gift of life that you have bestowed upon Alyssa and Andrew with the birth of a baby girl. We pray that you would send your holy angels to shield and protect this child from all danger of body and soul. Preserve her according to your good pleasure until that day when she is brought to the waters of holy baptism to receive the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. Lord, in your mercy, Heavenly Father, teach us to number our days, even as we count the years of life upon earth. Bless those who celebrate birthdays this week. We remember Susie, Rachel, Paul, and Jason. Strengthen their trust in your goodness and bless them with your abiding love all the days of your life. Lord, in your mercy, Heavenly Father, you have been gracious in giving the gift of marriage. We especially remember Don and Vicky, Russell and Nancy, who celebrate that gift of marriage this week. Assist them always by your grace, that with true fidelity and steadfast love, you may ever honor and keep their promises, grow in love toward you and love for each other through every joy and sorrow shared. Lord, in your mercy, Heavenly Father, you have founded your promises in the crucified and risen flesh of Jesus Christ. Fortify those who suffer in the body and soul through sickness, loneliness, adversity, and trouble. We especially remember our homebound and shut-ins, Joanne, Eldine, June, Janine, Jeanette, Audrey, Bev, Benny, Lenora, and Lois. So also we pray for Isabel, Stacy, Dwayne, Nick, Ryan, Hannah, Jason, Blaine, Karen, Harvey, Lana, April, Tammy, Gloria, and Pastor Brad Bertel. Heal and sustain them according to your good and gracious will, and deliver them in everlasting life in Christ. Lord, in your mercy, Almighty Father, you alone make the decisions concerning life and death. Be gracious and merciful to Paul, whose death seems imminent. Keep him in his baptismal grace and prepare him to commit himself to your eternal care and keeping. Give him a repentant heart, firm faith, and a lively hope. Let not the fear of death cause him to waver in confidence and trust. And at your chosen time, grant him a holy death, a peaceful departure, and a joyous entrance into everlasting life. Lord, in your mercy, Heavenly Father, though we are unworthy of a place at the table of our Lord, you have bid us to come and eat of his flesh and blood. Give to us faith that we may come in repentance to receive this blessed food of everlasting life. Awaken our hearts, remove from us all foreign thoughts, increase our hope, kindle our affections, cleanse us from all impurity of sin, and sanctify us wholly, that we may approach your table in cheerful confidence and with a pure mouth, holy heart, and heartfelt desire, partaking in this blessing, life, and salvation of our soul. Let, Lord, in your mercy, all these and whatever else you know that we need, we pray that you would grant to us, dear Father, for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. And most especially we are bound to praise you on this day for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Paschal Lamb, who was sacrificed for us and bore the sins of the world. By his dying he has destroyed death, and by his rising again he has restored us to everlasting life. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene, Peter and John, and with all the witnesses of the resurrection, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Holy. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Christ keep you strong and steadfast, both body and soul, until life everlasting. Depart in his peace. Amen.
Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. We pray. We give thanks to Almighty God that you have refreshed us through the salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord be with you.
And with
thy spirit. Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.